Could you talk a little bit more about the pathophysiology, what actually is going on with differentiation syndrome, and some examples of how that plays out clinically?
Yeah, so when we typically kill cancer cells with chemotherapy, we're just hitting them over the head. You know, we're dropping a bomb and they and everything else die. This works differently. This isn't a blunt instrument that just comes and hammers the cancer cell over the head. Leukemia cells are problematic because they can't grow up. They can't mature or differentiate. They are blocked from doing that. This drug goes in and lifts that block. It alleviates the block and maturation that these cells have. So when that happens, they can do something called terminal differentiation. They can go through the cell cycle, or they can mature, go through the cell cycle, and ultimately die. And that's great. That's a relatively safe way to kill a cancer cell because, you know, there's no other cells in the body that are susceptible to this and are going to mature and die. But the problem is that if you have trillions of cells simultaneously maturing and then dying, there's going to be some chaos potentially in the body. And that's what differentiation syndrome is essentially. And so you can have a lot of problems as a result of this.
But when you think about differentiation, you think about the cell becoming more specified in its function? Is that what's actually happening?
Yeah, you know, I'm no expert in the biology of this for sure, but the way I think of it is simply, yes, you know, cells are the block that's prevented them from maturing and made them remain at a very immature blast phase and continue to make copies of itself, and those copies don't die either. That is lifted, and the cells are now free to mature, and they mature and then they die.
So could you give, let's say, two or three of the more common clinical examples of differentiation syndrome that appears with these agents?
Yeah. So I would say effusions, fluid accumulations, whether that's pulmonary, cardiac, and other pulmonary complications, even like an ARDS-like picture. So hypoxia associated with that. Fevers are common, and that's a tough one because, you know, a lot of AML patients, when they're first diagnosed, are getting fevers for infectious reasons. And rash. A rash is a pretty common sign of differentiation syndrome.
And what do you do management-wise?
So this is a challenge, and there's now some guidelines thanks to some of the clinical trial experience, but steroids can be helpful. And so steroids are typically the first go-to treatment. And if necessary, and this is where a lot of experience and clinical judgment has to come in, sometimes it's appropriate to hold the drug. But you have to be really careful about that because, you know, differentiation syndrome is a lot like tumor lysis. It can do a lot of damage, but you kind of like to see it because you know things are working. And so you don't want to step on your own toes. So you really have to manage that carefully. So in some cases, it's appropriate to hold the therapy for a brief period. But really, the main thing is steroids and other supportive care. Tap the effusion. Sometimes lots of oxygen support. You know, those are aggressive supportive care.